Jeremiah, as he looks at Jerusalem, he says in 6:6 or 6:7b, he says the sick and the wounded are in Jerusalem. And not physically sick, but the spiritual sickness. The evil, the wickedness, the vileness, it led to abundant social issues. The problems in Jerusalem, they were worse than the worst type of cancer. America needs help. I don't know that you can find too many people in our country, regardless of what their political beliefs are, they say, yes, our country does need some help. That help is going to come from God's people and the gospel. It's going to come from God's people going out into the highways and the byways and telling people there is a better way. It's not the world's way. It's not the world's gospel. It is God's gospel. Jeremiah, in verse 10, as he surveys the situation, he asks, is anybody listening to me? Have you ever talked to your mate and you wonder if your mate's listening? I suspect men probably get that more than women. But sometimes a wife will say to the husband, are you listening to me? She doesn't think that the man is listening to her. Well, Jeremiah, the preacher, he's wondering if anybody's paying any attention. When a nation begins to immerse itself in sin, when it descends to the level of depravity that we have here in Jeremiah chapter 6, and you're trying to be that light that we talked about last week, it's easy to ask, is anyone interested? Is anyone willing to think about God? Is anyone willing to read the Bible, let alone own a copy of the scripture? If there's all this darkness that surrounds us, who possibly could stand against that great darkness? Jeremiah, moving down now to verse 10. In that sixth chapter, he says, the people that I'm dealing with, he says, the people in this city, he says, they have ears that are uncircumcised. It's like they have earmuffs. It's like they have earplugs. It's like they have wax in their ears. They're unwilling to hear. We may have that similar thing happen to us today, something similar. We try to tell people about God. We try to share that information about the gospel, and it's like their ears are stopped up. They cannot hear. A few days ago, listened to an older gospel preacher. I don't know exactly how old he is. I suspect that he's reached at least the age of 80. And he was talking about something that was new to me. I believe it was back in about 1990, 1991. He talked about the fact that in Dallas, Texas, they had 1,000-plus nights of preaching the gospel. 1,000-plus nights of preaching the gospel. Multiple congregations were working together, and they brought in preachers from different places. And night after night, Sunday through Sunday, Monday through Monday, Friday through Friday, 7 nights a week, they were meeting at a certain place, and they said, we are going to have faithful men stand up and preach the gospel of Christ. And they had some of the best preachers in the church come and preach during that thousand years would have been a long time. Now suppose that a congregation today said, let's do that, let's in a hurry, let's have 1,000 nights of gospel preaching. How well do you think that would go? I suspect there would be people today, no, weekend's long enough for us. 1,000 nights, more than 3 years. In Jeremiah chapter 6, God says, I know that my people have grown tired of me. I know that you've abused my grace, you've misused my mercy long enough, and now a line has been crossed, and you're going to pay. Eventually, God has a boiling point, and that's what Jeremiah 6 says, as far as that having been reached. God warns the people that severe judgment is coming. I find the emphasis, as far as the gatherings of young men, to be interesting. Don't know exactly who those young men were. Some translations understand that as a reference to gangs. Now, that may or may not be accurate. But I do, as you look at Scripture, do believe that we have some information about gangs in the Bible. You can see what seems to be gang activity in Proverbs chapter 1 here and some other places. Gang activity is usually not seen in a positive light as we think about it in our society. And if that's a problem here, it certainly would have complicated things as far as the sin issue. When you look at a decaying society, you do find gangs of people. They decide that they're going to come together oftentimes, do some things that are violent, do some things perhaps that are deadly, and it is like a gangrene problem in society. God says those young people were going to suffer, but he said it's not just going to be the young. To bring evil on you, terrible things are coming your way. The people in verse 20, they had the attitude, well, we'll just give you some worship, God. Doesn't that sound like today? Bad things start to happen? Well, let's pay the preacher and have him pray for us. Or let's go attend a couple church services. We'll throw a little religion towards God. God said, I don't want your religion. That's not enough. Well, the people, let's pray. God said, too late to pray. Don't come to the house of worship. Your heart's not in it. God says, you've decided your fate, and I'm going to let you have the consequences of what you've sown. In verse 23, God says, I'm going to send some people your way, and they're going to be cruel. Would God do that? God said he did that. And that's exactly what history records. God said, in essence, that these people, they were armed to the teeth. These people were not going to come with something like bows and arrows. God said they're going to come with the kind of armament where they're going to roar like the sea. When these people show up, when they encamp, it is going to be damage like you can't imagine. He says they're going to inflict terror on you. In fact, in verse 24, that point is single day. That's always been the obligation. And for a number of years, it's been fairly easy in America because we're kind of gliding along as a nation. But things are changing, and changing a lot at every level. It's not going to be, if things continue on as far as the current projection, it's not going to be very long before we will truly have to take a stand for Christ. We're going to be the one who says, yes, I am a Christian, do to me what you will, or we're going to try to hide in our shadows. And if we hide in our shadows, we will deny Christ. The time for hiding, the time for mediocrity, the time for riding the fence, if we've made those choices in the past, it's about over. There looks like there's going to be a clear line, a clear separation, and we're going to have to be on one side or the other. And Jesus stated that very clearly in Matthew 12 and verse 30. He said, he that is not with me is against me. Two sides. Two very clear sides. We're grateful for the members here that stand up for Christ and right. We pray that you'll continue to do that each and every day. If you've not joined forces with us this morning, we would like to encourage you to come and stand as a bright light in this congregation. If you don't know how, we'll be glad to talk with you about that. If you do, and you've not yet done it, we'd like to encourage you to take the steps. We'll talk with you a little bit more. Pray with you if that's necessary. If you need to be encouraged in your Christian walk to be that kind of light, we'd like to do that. And do that today, now, as we stand and sing.
Oh, good.